prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
It's like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 3 December 2025. Welcome to this broadcast. We are so glad you're with us. And I sincerely mean that. Tonight we're going to discuss something I think is kind of important. I really do. I wouldn't be doing it, actually, but it wasn't important. But I think this is something that needs talked about and clarified in a lot of people's minds about what being a Christian is and how Christians should respond to different things. Before we go there, though, don't forget tomorrow being Thursday, we'll be in office tomorrow. We were off last Thursday because Thanksgiving. We'll be in office tomorrow all day long, 9 to 4 Eastern, Lord willing. Be here to take your phone calls, answer questions, talk a while. And if I can help you with a scriptural information, if I know it, I'll share it with you. If I can help you with any kind of counseling, please feel free to call. You want to place an order tomorrow? Chris will be here to take it and fill your orders. Orders that were ordered from last week, week before last also, will go out tomorrow. So you look for those real soon, hopefully. If you want to give a donation, we'll be here for that also. So tomorrow's office will be open at 800-777-4403. If you can call long distance, please call our toll line. That's 304-846-4448. We sincerely want to hear from you. And I really mean that. Now, I know some of you, if you can't afford to give a donation or anything, I appreciate that. If you would just call and talk a while, I'll be glad to. Now, maybe a little bit rushed in between, but please feel free to call tomorrow. That's what we're here for. This is a ministry. It's not a business. It's a ministry, so I don't mind taking time out to talk to you if I can at all. If I get too busy, I'll call you back. I am nothing but a servant, just as you are. So please feel free to call. Don't forget, we're going to have Bible study this weekend, Lord willing. Starts at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. At 10:30 a.m., you can go to PastorButch.com and watch us live. Or you can call on the phone at 339-209-5013. 339-209-5013. Please do if you can, come and join us. We'd love for you to watch us and talk to us, listen to us. I'll be giving that number during the programs where you can call and ask questions, make comments. Folks, we're open to phone calls, especially the first half hour. That's your prayer request time, praise report time. We want to hear from you. I got a thrill last time we were together. We got a call from Germany. That's the first time I ever got a call from Germany. I've come from France before and other places, but never Germany. It's just a wonderful feeling, and I praise God for that. But anyway, tonight we got a lot to talk about. I want to share a few thoughts. A lady listens to the broadcast out in Washington State, a sweet, sweet individual. called the broadcast night before last when Jake was on, Jake Lang was on. They mentioned about how Christians should show the other faith, but we're talking about the Muslim faith in, the difference between us and them. And that should be absolutely what we should do. There's no doubt about it. That is what we should do, and we must do, if we want to serve Christ in the right way. You know, the scriptures tell us to go out into the world, in Matthew 28, and to share the gospel of Christ, to disciple all nations and teach them the commandments that he gave us. And Christianity's done that now ever since Christ left 2,000 years ago. Well, one time America had more missionaries out in the field than anywhere else today. America has missionaries coming into it, and we sure need it. But we went into other nations as missionaries with the idea of spreading the gospel of Christ. We went in as guests in these countries to tell them about Jesus Christ. We went in not with the goal of convert or die, become our slaves, and treat them as dung, so to speak, as pure heathens. The missionaries that went into foreign countries that didn't know Christ, maybe they were, who knows, like we have many. I get a magazine called Voice of the Martyrs. I support them for years. A lot of them are now in Muslim countries trying to teach Christ, and they face up to death, a lot of them. They face a lot of persecution. But they pray for their enemies, and they love them, and they try to teach them the truth, forgive them when they're tormented that way, because they're there to spread the gospel of Christ. They're not there to overpower or to occupy, so to speak, in a way of a military idea. They're there to teach the gospel of Christ, and by that way, lead some to Christ. And if God's willing and things work out, maybe get the mindset of the people strong enough towards the gospel of Christ to see things change society for the glory of God and for the good of the people. That's what Christians do. There's no force, no sword they're taking in with them. There's no no way that they won't have any harm in mind at all. They don't want to harm anybody. They're there to spread the gospel. And that's the way Christians should be. Unfortunately, now I'm going to share some examples in a minute. I'm going to read to you an example of Thomas Jefferson's first run-in with him in the shores of Tripoli, actually. I'm going to read a few verses for you out of the Quran. The scriptures nowhere tell us, in the Bible anywhere, to take a sword, go into foreign lands, and convert them to Christianity. That would be an absolute blasphemy against the Word of God, against the Holy Spirit to do that. We don't do that. You can't convert by force. I know for many years the Catholic Church tried to do that, persecuted and martyred many, many thousands of people that wouldn't follow Christ the way they thought they should. They brought in a lot of pagan ideas, including pagan holidays like Easter and Christmas. Now, I'll make you all mad. That's fine. It's true, though. So we saw that before in history with the so-called Crusades from the Catholic Church and what went on there. Now, I'm not saying that they were always wrong every time it happened and every incident, but I am saying that's not how the gospel spread of salvation. That isn't how it works. To force somebody to convert is not conversion at all. It's called fear. But on the other hand, other religions, and I'll give them that, I will call that a religion, but I call it more of a cult, but it's evil to the core. When you understand what the Muslim faith is all about, what Muhammad's all about, he was a child molester, a pedophile, a pervert, and that's their so-called holy leader. You have to realize that these people have, as a whole, had no conscience between right and wrong, especially the more radical groups of them that are out there to say they're going to make you obey Muhammad and follow the Quran, or they're going to kill you and make you a slave. That is a fact. Now, let me try to make a kind of example, if you don't mind. When I, hopefully soon, this week, this coming Friday, I'm going to go into an individual's home. My wife and I are both going in to talk to another couple. about salvation in Christ. I want you all to pray that please. I don't want to give the names out right now in the air, but I want you to pray that the Lord will prepare their hearts to hear the gospel. I already called and told them that we're going to come up, and I told them both why. They didn't say no, so that's a good sign. But we're going to go into their home and tell them about salvation in Jesus Christ and give them the good news of hope beyond this world. I'm going to their home with respect for their home, with respect for them. I'll present myself as a Christian should, as a gentleman, and Marcia's a lady. We will respect their home, their property, their person. We're not going to at all get into their face and tell them convert or they're going to go to hell in that way. We're not going to do it in an angry manner. We're certainly not going to tell them you either convert or we're going to kill you. That doesn't work that way. But now, if someone comes to my home, and this has happened before, I've had cults come in, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons have tried to come into our home, and I do not let them in the home. That's unbiblical, by the way. But I have stood on the front porch and shared and rebutted their testimonies, if you will, and rebutted scripturally that they don't come back any longer. I haven't been back to my home for years and years because I wasn't necessarily rude, but I was firm on what I believed. But neither one of these cults tried to force their way in my home and demand we convert or die or want to conquer our home and take our property and control our home. They didn't do that. If they did, I responded as a Christian. When they tried to talk to me, I responded as a Christian. I know something about Scripture. And I debated them, and I don't mind debating them on the Scriptures. I know a little bit about the Bible. And I showed them where their teachings were not biblical. Now, unfortunately, both of them have other so-called Bibles, I guess you could say, that they want to use that's also not Scripture. But they got enough information with me that they wouldn't come back any longer. I responded as a Christian should. I responded firmly, respectfully as I could, and as kindly as possible. But now, if either one of those was said, "We're coming in. We're going to tell you what's going on, and you're either going to follow this, or we're going to take over your home, or we're going to kill you. Your choice." I would have responded as a Christian again. Yeah, I would have responded as a Christian. There would have been an immediate, strong, forceful rebuttal, to say the least. Even to the point of self-defense, by any means necessary, to defend my home. My ideals in Christ, my faith in Christ, I will not tolerate them to come in and take over my home and try to run my home by their so-called faith, their so-called religion. If they come in, as they come on the porch, I talk to them as kind as I could be, and that's how Christians should respond. But they did not come in and try to be forceful or take over in a way they shouldn't, because that would have made an immediate response from me that would have been very unpleasant. And no, I don't apologize for it. I wouldn't apologize to them if that would happen. I would not apologize. I would not feel remorseful over it. Because that's how Christian men respond in protecting their homes and their families. Period. Now, when they come to my home, I did not bid them God bless them. Because the Bible tells us in 2 John chapter 1, don't bid them Godspeed. Don't say God bless you. Good luck to you, whatever you want to say. Don't do that. If you do, you're partakers of their evil. So see, being a Christian didn't mean that I was overly kind and overly pleasant. I was firm, but polite as possible. And again, that was enough. They never come back again. But if they come into my home by force, if they try to do that by force, there would be a different response from me that would be very harsh, very uncaring, except for my own family, and very forceful. Now, I hope I explained that to you very well. I hope I did, okay? Because we're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We're to reprove them. We're to have no fellowship with him. I didn't invite my home to a cup of coffee or a piece of cake. No, that's not right. I don't do that. You don't fellowship with darkness. You witness to them and tell them, pay attention to the truth and repent before it's too late. Now, let's move on. I try to make that point as clear as possible. If I went into a foreign country as a missionary, or somebody else's home as a missionary, which I'm going to do this weekend, this Friday, I'm going to do it with the love of Christ and the grace of Christ in my heart. I'm not going in by force. I'm not going to disrespect them in any way. I'm not going to try to force anything on them. I'm going to share the gospel of Christ with love. Yes, firm. I can't compromise the word. But the same way Christ did with sinners. He didn't compromise with them. But he didn't go in there and threaten to kill them if they didn't convert either, did they? Unfortunately, what's happening with our nation today, with the Muslim takeover of sections of their country, including Dearborn, Michigan, including places in Texas, as you know about from Plano, Texas, that's where Jake Lang is going the 13th to take a stand, he's doing the right thing. These people are here taking over police forces and fulfilling their religious beliefs in the law and not following the customs of our nation under Christian law or constitutional law, as far as that goes. They're not doing it. So people have every right to resist. They're trying to take over their homes, make them slaves, if you will, or as we're going to read in a minute, they have a right by the Quran to kill them if they don't convert. So they have every duty in Christ to do what's right, to withstand this assault and repel it as soon as possible. I'm going to read to you by Thomas Jefferson, The Pirate War and the Shores of Tripoli. A couple paragraphs long. I'm going to read it, then we'll read some quotes out of the Quran also. This is a very short segment of the article that I have in front of me here. Within days of his March 1801 inauguration as the third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson ordered a naval and military expedition to North Africa without the authorization of Congress to put down regimes involved in slavery and piracy. The war was the first in which the United States flag was carried and planted overseas. It saw the baptism by fire of the U.S. Marine Corps, whose anthem boasts of action on the shores of Tripoli, and it prefigured later struggles with both terrorism and jihad. The Barbary states of North Africa, Algiers, Tunis, Morocco, and Tripoli, today's Libya, had for centuries sustained themselves by preying on the maritime commerce of others. Income was raised by direct theft, the extortion of bribes or protection, and the capture of crews and passengers to be used as slaves. The historian Robert Davis, in his book Christian Slaves, Muslim Masters, White Slavery in the Mediterranean, the Barbary Coast, and Italy, 1500 through 1800, estimates that as many as 1.25 million Europeans and Americans were enslaved. You don't hear that, do you? You don't hear that. The Barbary Raiders, so called because they were partly of Berber origins, struck as far north as England and Ireland. It appears, for example, that almost every inhabitant of the Irish village of Baltimore was carried off in 1631. Samuel Pease and Daniel Defoe both mentioned the frightening trade in their writings. At that time, pampas and speeches by survivors and escaped slaves had a huge influence on the popular immigration. James Thompson's famously rousing 1740 song Rule Britannica, with his chorus about how Britons never shall be slaves, was a direct allusion to the Barbary terrorism. America's two main diplomats at the time were John Adams in London and Jefferson in Paris. Together they called upon Ambassador Abraham, the envoy of Tripoli, in London in March 1786. Now, this before Jefferson was the president. This dignitary mentioned a tariff of three payments for the ransom of slaves and hostages, for cheap terms of temporary peace, and for more costly terms of perpetual peace. He did not forget to add his own commission as a percentage. Adams and Jefferson asked to know by what right he was exacting these levies. The U.S. had never menaced or quarreled with any of the Muslim powers, as Jefferson later reported to the State Department of Congress. The ambassador answered us that it was founded on the laws of their prophet, that's Muhammad, folks, that it was written in the Quran, that all nations who would not have acknowledged their law, their authority were sinners, that it was their right and duty to make war upon them wherever they could be found, to make them slaves, though they could take as prisoners. That was the policy of the Muslim faith clear back in the late 1700s. It hasn't changed. If anything, it may have gotten worse. Now, I'm sharing with you historical facts as to why we must confront this in the streets of America and confront it in politics, and any political heathen that's in office, the Muslim faith, should be somehow the American people to rally around their opponent. I'm sorry, around the opponent of those people and help them get that individual out of authority, out of power. As you heard in Dearborn, the cops will not enforce the constitutional laws or Christian perspective on anything happened during this protest in the streets of Dearborn against the Muslim faith. So see, they come in and they will force their way. As you heard Jake say last night, they meet in their mosque and devise ways to conquer. I'm going to read to you a few verses out of the Quran. I'm going to read to you a little bit more information from current speakers of the Muslim faith and what their goal is for America. I'm not making any of this up. I'm not. In January magazine, there'll be quotes from the Quran in there. So you see what I'm talking about. I'm not making it up at all. This article, this is just a few verses. It's entitled Forced Conversion. Muslims are told to fight unbelievers until they are either dead, converted to Islam, or in a permanent state of subjugation under Muslim domination. Allowing people of other faiths to live and worship independently of Islamic rule is not an option. Now, this is in their own writings. Quran, chapter 9, verse 5. But when the forbidden months are past, then fight and slay the pagans, that's us, folks, wherever ye find them, and seize them, beleaguer them, and lie in wait for them in every stratagem of war. But if they repent and establish regular prayers and practice regular charity, then open the way for them. So this is one of the verses, folks, where they're told, if they don't repent, kill them. But if they decide to follow us, then let them live among us, I guess. But make sure that you treat them as slaves. That's going to say that another verse. In Quran 2, verse 193, and fight them until fitna is no more, and religion be only for Allah. But if they desist, then let there be no hostility except against wrongdoers. So fight them till Allah is accepted as their leader. In another book, the two books, and I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, Hadith and Sirah, Shalah Muslim 133, the Messenger of Allah said, I have commanded to fight against people till they testify that there is no God but Allah, that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and they establish prayer and pay zakat, which is a tax, folks, a fee, if you will, to live there. In the Sahih Muslim 19, verse 4294, when you meet your enemies, who are polytheists, which includes Christians, invite them to three courses of action. If they respond to any one of these, you also accept it and withhold yourself from doing them any harm. Invite them to accept Islam. If they respond to you, accept it from them and desist from fighting against them. If they refuse to accept Islam, demand from them the jizya, which is the tax. If they agree to pay, accept it from them and hold off your hands. If they refuse to pay the tax, seek Allah's help and fight them. That's what Osama bin Laden echoes this order. Does Islam or does it not force people by the power of the sword to submit to its authority corporally, if not spiritually? Yes. There are only three choices in Islam: either submit or live under the sovereignty of Islam or die. I'm not making this up. Also, in the same book, chapter 84, verse 59, Allah's apostle said, I have been ordered to fight the people till they say, none has a right to be worshipped but Allah. And if they say so, pray like our prayers, face our Qibla, and slaughter as we slaughter. I said, listen, folks, and slaughter as we slaughter, then let your blood and property then their blood and property will be sacred to us, and we will not interfere with them except legally and their reckoning will be with Allah. The same book says in chapter 2, verse 24, Allah's apostle, I have been ordered by Allah to fight against the people until they testify that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah and that Muhammad is Allah's apostle. The same book in chapter 60, verse 80, the verse, you true Muslims are the best of peoples ever raised up for mankind, means the best of the peoples for the best of the peoples for the people, as you bring them with chains on their necks until they embrace Islam. Same book, 60, verse 40. And fight them till there is no more affliction, i.e. no more worshiping of others along with Allah. Same book, chapter 3, verse 643. Testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, or else I will chop off your neck. In Quran, chapter 2, verse 256, therefore all people of the world shall be called to Islam. If any one of them refuses to do so, or refuses to pay the jizya, they shall be fought till they are killed. That's the ones that's taken over our cities, like Dearborn, taking over towns like Plano, Texas, taking over cities in Minnesota. Those are the ones that we have to stand against, folks. Again, we have Christians, we have missionaries, even Muslim missionaries now. They're born again missionaries. They're in the Muslim religion is predominant, but they're Christian now. Go out into society and try to spread the gospel of Christ, and they're being slaughtered for it. They're losing their property. The families are scattered everywhere because they're standing for Christ. But they didn't go in with a sword in their hand. They didn't go and say, if you don't convert, we're going to kill you. They didn't do that. They went in as especially those from other countries, Americans who are going as testimonies, as witnesses, go in respect and try to do what's right in the name of Christ and teach others the love of Christ. But when they come to our shores, they expect us to convert or die. If we do not stop this cancer now, and we let it happen, I want to share them with you in a minute, we have let them come in our country freely, especially since 1965, When the immigration laws were changed. They were coming to our nation by the millions. And they're coming in now in force and taking over cities, one city at a time. They're building mosques everywhere. They're saying their prayers everywhere. They're doing all that in the face of American culture. And the sad part of it is, and I'm saying this out of love, but I'm saying the truth, only about 20% of this nation now, maybe close to 30, even profess they're Christians. Look it up for yourself. Now, they may say they know God. They may say they believe in God, but big deal. Satan does that, and he trembles. But those who profess real Christianity, 30% or less, and they're not doing anything. Very few people are standing today. Jake Lane's one of them. That's almost 40. Back at the break with some more in your phone calls, as always.
Satan's army's come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nemana Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Nemana a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention that Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, James McKenna here for JMCC Water Filters. We're having two amazing specials on the Gravity Water Filter Elements. This is for the Berkey-style water filters, our own HI water filter elements, the best two-stage water filter elements you can buy, and also the least expensive, on sale, $199 for a four-pack, $378, that's $20 off. For an 8-pack, you buy 8, we send you 10. And the 12-pack, an amazing $100 off. That's for $497 for a 12-pack, and we send you 14. Also, the whole house water filter, typically $1,480, now on sale for an amazing $699. Call Pastor Butch office, 800-777-4403. That's 800-777-4403, while this amazing sale is still on. Thank you.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Hurd, that's spelled H-U-R-D, 224 Hurd Road, Netty, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Hurd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
You know, before going further, I want to say something. I know Smith tonight heard me say that I would, if I had to defend my family, physically to defend them, I was forced to harm somebody, even to the point of taking a life, that I wouldn't feel any remorse for it. And you say, well, that's heartless. No, it's not heartless. It's in your Bible. It's in your Bible, find for yourself, that when someone is punished for doing something that's worthy of death, he said, don't pity him. That's what he said. Scripture say, don't pity him. Read it for yourself. I don't want to do it. I would hate to have to do that. I might really hate it in the sense that I had to do it and life was taken, but I wouldn't be sorry for it because they give me the choice. So I want to clear it up before going further. I'm going to read a little bit of an article written by Frosty Woolridge, which will be in January's magazine, by the way. It's called The Terrorist We Invited Among Us. The Terrorist We Invited Among Us. My phone lines are open. 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. This is very short. I got four short paragraphs here. Then we'll take phone calls. The most destructive act that began the dismantling of the United States, I'll repeat that. The most destructive act that began the dismantling of the United States of America began with the 1965 Immigration Reform Act. It opened America's immigration to 1.1 million legal immigrants annually. It jumped a population of 194 million in 1965 to our current 350 million. Since that moment, we now endure in excess of 50 million foreign-born and another 25 million illegal foreign-born people from mostly third-world countries. Let me make this point real quickly. One out of every six Americans today, citizens, are foreign-born. That means that people that are born in America, and our population, the population of Americans, especially the Caucasian Americans, is dropping very rapidly. We're losing ground every day. One out of six, 17% or so, of people in this country were foreign-born. But as Frost just said, since that moment, 1965, we now endure in excess of 50 million foreign-born, another 25 million illegal foreign-born people from mostly third-world countries. The worst aspect of that act stems from the fact that Congress started importing, now pay attention, folks, he's right, importing incompatible cultures, religions, and backward civilizations. The worst of them plays out in cities like Dearborn, Michigan, where Muslims are now creating their own Islamic caliphate right here in America. Let me make this comment here, please. This is my comment. Incompatible cultures. I think Orwell wrote that there'll be two factions that would not be conquered, we'll say, by the New World Order type. He mentioned the Muslims and the Christians. Now, those two religions are totally incompatible. All false religions are incompatible with Christianity. You can't merge them successfully. And there's no such thing as a multicultural society that can stand. No household. I'll make this point again, make it down simple enough that I can understand it. I lived in my home now, myself, my family. Marcia, I've been married over 54 years. I raised my three sons in a home under our culture, if you will, our home rules. As Christians, I didn't have it all right, still don't, but I tried to raise them in a godly manner. Now, that was our culture in our home. If I invited another family in from a different culture, and would not conform to the culture of my home, that would cause conflict, wouldn't it? If I invited three or four in from different cultures, and all of them are coming from different beliefs, Hinduism, Muslim, Buddhism, whatever, and none of them wants to conform to my way, of my home, my country, so to speak, they end up being war. Because no truly righteous person can peaceably coexist with evil. Let that sink in. I do not apologize for what I'm saying. I'm not going to compromise it. You're not going to change my mind. If you think I'm wrong, then try to prove me wrong. But this household would fall very quickly if I were to allow other people in who have different beliefs and different religions in conflict with what I knew is biblical truth and wanted to bring their cultures, their habits into my home. A Muslim would bring in maybe two or three wives, and some of them as young as 10, 12 years old. That won't fly in my home. There'd be immediate retribution for that. It would not happen. But a nation is the same thing. We invite him into our home. I would actually, we didn't invite him in. They were invited in, but not by you and I necessarily. By people that knew what they were doing. They wanted to destroy our Christian culture. And folks, that's what they're doing, and they've already done it. Back to the article. If you visit Dearborn, and I did last summer, you see all Arabic writings on businesses. Repeat that. You see all Arabic writings on businesses. Burqa covering women. Sharia law being practiced. 5 calls to Allah daily over loudspeakers. Muslims with their butts stuck up in the air all over the streets. And mosques everywhere surrounded by walls. It's a no-go zone for Americans in America. There's no freedom for any other religion in Dearborn. Dearborn, Michigan, the 12th Congressional District, represented by Rashida Taheb, a Palestinian Muslim, is witnessing an alarming cause, now pay attention, for the overthrow of the United States government. Christians do not do that and foreign nations. The American empire must fall. There are individuals, both young and old, ready to sacrifice everything to see this empire dismantled. Americans are uncivilized and backward. Allah sent us to civilize them because they are the lowest form of human nature. Christians are jealous of us. Their nation is dying. David J. Harris, Jr., Muslim imam in Dearborn, Minnesota, said that. Now, I cannot make this point any clearer. I truly can't. I'm not going to try. No point in it. If you don't get it by now, you're not going to get it. It's just like that lady, bless her heart, that I thank good intention and nice lady, said, I'm not going to support you anymore. I can't because you talk too much about the Jews. I really don't talk much about the Jews. I do mention what they're doing, but I don't talk about them, so to speak. I could, and I have to some degree, and I've published articles in a magazine about what they are and what they do, and I say Jews. They're not necessarily Jews. They let them say they are, as the Bible says in Revelation 2 and 3, but they're not true Jews. They're the synagogue of Satan. You and I know that's Bible. If you don't know it's Bible, folks, then you don't know your Bible. So I'm not making fun of them. I'm telling the truth of what they've done. I'm not picking on them. I'm telling the truth. It's like about the Muslims. So I'm not going to make everybody happy. I'm not going to try to. I can't. I wish I could. If I could make everybody happy, maybe I'd be like, I'm trying to think of some big name preachers. That one is really a classy, good-looking young guy that had the churches filled with tens of thousands of people. I can't remember his name right now off the top of my head. Same myself. I see his face, got curly hair. And he's just a smooth speaker. If I could please him that way, maybe I'd have a jet plane or two and a 3-4 house around the country and maybe a villa in France or something. But I don't. That's not my calling. My calling is not to tickle people's ears. It's not to please smooth things. It's not to make people feel good because that's how I make money. It isn't what I do. I can't do that. I would be blaspheming the word of God. I'd be betraying Christ before men, and Christ told me in Matthew 10 that he would betray me. Now, take it back. He would not claim me before the Father. So if you forget me, then you'll be forgotten in the kingdom. I won't do that. I have to tell the truth, folks. This song I play, This Is War, has been a theme song now for almost 33 years, and we are at war. We're at war now for the soul of America, as that song says. And we have compromised ourselves right into hell in this country. We've done it ignorantly, maybe with good intentions. It's like Europe did, wanting to come in and move in with them. And they welcomed with open arms. And now they're regretting it very greatly. The Muslim faith and the Christian faith cannot peacefully coexist. We don't force conversion to Christ. We'll preach Christ to them. But when you do that, we may sacrifice our lives because they hate us. If we don't convert to what they want, they will kill us. Or at least take us over and make us slaves. Now, I'll share with you the truth tonight. You do with it as you please. But if you're not willing to stand when your home been invaded, and I'm saying this out of pure love, folks, especially to you men out there, if you're not willing to defend your family, I don't just mean in your home. I mean on outside your home in the cities where you live. If you want to defend them from this kind of hatred, then please don't call yourself a Christian. I know you might say, well, I'm a Christian. Therefore, I want to stand against this. I want to stand against evil. Well, then you better apologize to a lot of people who sacrificed their lives so you can live in a country where it was somewhat free. And I'm talking about now our founders. A lot of people died for what you call freedom today, which most of it is already gone. But if you want to sacrifice your life to protect innocent people, then you better read Proverbs 24:11-12. Let's go to phones. Just like I said, let's go to Chance right here in West Virginia. Chance, come on in. Welcome.
Yes, hello, Pastor Butch. Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay. I've got something to say, and I hope you'll hear me out. I don't take any particular sides. I'll tell you why. As true Christians, we have to be very careful not to categorize any particular groups. I'll tell you why. Because according to all my extensive research, there are radical sects of Islam, just like there are Christian Zionists and Jewish Zionists.
There are.
And guess what? True Christians will find out eventually that all those groups within the groups are all equally dangerous to real Christians. And by the way, in Islam, Jesus Christ is a prophet. In Judaism, he's referred to as a bastard.
Yes,
can you imagine?
True.
Now listen. Besides, Sharia law and Noahide laws are both the enemies of real Christians. We need to realize this. And each group has radical sects. The Jewish with the Noahide laws, the radical sects with Muslim with the Sharia laws. We can't just say, we can't just put everybody in the category.
As Christians,
we got to be discerning and realize our own will turn against us, Pastor Butch, also.
Well, you have to understand this. I'm not talking, I can't categorize everybody together. I'll be wrong. I cannot do that. But the ones in the streets trying and threatening to kill people like Jake Lang for standing up and protesting their so-called religion, taking over the society in Dearborn, that's absolutely the right thing to do. Maybe they're not all involved.
I don't agree with them, Pastor Butch. Of course, they need to be eradicated. I agree with that. But you have to also understand, like I said, there's radical group. Sharia law and the Noahide laws are both deadly enemies. Deadly enemies to real Christians. And real Christians will find this out. We have enemies on all fronts. There are good Muslims, too. See, we have to be careful.
I agree. There are good Jews also. Good
yes, there are
Jews.
Good Jews also. But I have no use for radical Muslims. I have no use for Christian Zionists, and I have no use for Jewish Zionists. I consider all three of them my enemy. And that's why we have to be careful.
Well, I agree. I have no problem with that. I'm not talking about those that come in here to actually fit into our culture and convey our laws. And
well, they should.
The
of course they should. Anytime you
they
go
should.
To another country, you should respect their culture.
You have no choice.
There are some Muslims who do that.
Well,
now, these radical ones who barbecue cats and dogs and poop in public and do these things and are violent.
Rape her children.
You're disgusting things, right. But let me tell you one thing. They're no less dangerous than Christian Zionists and Jewish Zionists. Real Christians will find that out. And that's what I wanted to say. And I hope you can
understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is I agree with you to the point that there's some come over here that perhaps want to become part of America and actually be Americans.
Yes,
but if they're here to overthrow, then it's time to get rid of them. Move them out.
Of course, I agree with you 100%.
You know, at one time, I was a Christian Zionist, but I wasn't dangerous. I was ignorant.
But you know what? All three of those groups I mentioned to you are dangerous to real Christians.
Those are going to be
out there cutting heads off now, they will. A Christian Zionist will turn on a real Christian. A Noahide Zionist will cut their head off just as much as a radical Muslim will. So we have all enemies on all sides. With that, God bless, and thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. And he's right, folks. All of them are not that way. They're not that way. But all the ones, you know, that I wouldn't never blanket everybody as the same thing. It's not true. But I was a Zionist one time myself, and I was not, and I was pro-Israel. I was taught that dispensationalism teaching about Israel, but I wasn't violent. I wasn't dangerous. And I'm sure he's convinced that some of them will so-called Christians will take the part of the Noahide laws because they sound good to a point. They're too ignorant of the truth. That doesn't mean necessarily that they're always dangerous, but sometimes ignorance can be dangerous also. So he's right. I'm not lumping them all together. I read to you, though, from their so-called religious book. I read to it. And if you read the Talmud, you read some of the same filth, only worse in some areas. So he's right. But their faith alone, if they believe it and live it, will force them to become violent if necessary. I'm not making it up. That's just Bible. As he said about those who are Zionists, one day they may get angry at us because we won't go their way. They'll become violent also because their faith requires that. They're right. Don't lump them all together. but be ready to stand for those that are going to stand against you in Christ. Let's go to Don in Arizona. Don, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, Pastor. It's a very wonderful show.
Well, thank you.
You had a call to decision homecoming revival, and you had Usama Dakdok, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yes.
Okay. And he really spoke and taught about the way the those people were, what they were really doing, and about the Quran and how he had the Quran in English and all that. We learned so much from him. And
yes.
So I don't know if you have any more of those left, but it was a good thing.
I don't know if we do or not. To tell you the truth, we sold most of them out. They were getting old. We told them about really expensive because I don't want people to have them. You're right. A lot of the best witnesses against this cult are ex-Muslims. They're the best witnesses because they lived it, they enforced it, and they believed it. So, yes.
Right.
Yeah. And again, as Tan said, there's some good ones out there that come here with good intentions. But if they follow their book, if they follow the scriptures, they call their Bible, they will behead us.
Yes.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
Anything else we are? How y'all doing, by the way?
Well, we're doing.
Okay.
Yeah. The VA's finally come through with a hospital bed for Gary. And so we praise God for that. And so we're getting some things done. We changed doctors.
Okay.
Anyway. So we're hoping.
Gary's in the hospital bed?
No, he sleeps in a hospital bed in the house.
Okay. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell him I said straighten up.
I will.
Okay.
I will be glad to tell him that.
give us a call tomorrow in the office and say hi to us, okay?
I will.
All right. Love you, honey. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Love you, too. God bless you.
God bless you. Right there goes two warriors, folks. Warriors for the unborn. I mean, brave, courageous people who's literally taking a stand and being chastised for it, trying to save the unborn babies. And folks, what I said tonight, I said by my heart, and I proved every point of it. I proved every point of it. You cannot be, I'm going to say it this way, you cannot be a Bible, or excuse me, you cannot be a Quran following Muslim if you're going to believe it right to the limit of what it says, and live peacefully with any other religion besides Islam. You can't do it. You cannot do it. If you're going to follow Muhammad and live by that, then you're going to end up in trouble in the streets by hurting people and harming people. You can't do it. Like the so-called Zionist Jews who follow Talmud. It's not scripture. It's a very hateful book against Christians. I'm telling you this. They come into a country illegally or even legally, and come in to change our culture because this was set up under Lyndon Baines Johnson to do this to our nation. It was set up for that reason, to let these people come in. It was for that reason to dismantle the culture of America, which has weakened America greatly in so many different ways, morally especially. But when morals go, the whole foundation goes. When you have no godly morals, I mean godly, I'm not talking about Allah's morals, although sometimes And their so-called religion, their morals are more strict than Christian morals. That's a fact. But when you allow these to come in and undermine the culture we have built upon the Word of God, and folks, that's not me talking. That's John Adams saying those things about the scriptures many years ago. Justice John Jay saying that we need Christians as leaders when he was Supreme Court, head of the Supreme Court. These are not my opinions. I'm telling you the truth. We've allowed this to happen under our watch, my watch. I was alive in 65. Maybe a lot of y'all weren't. But we are still here today for a purpose. You're breathing for a purpose. It's not sit at home and gripe and moan. It's get up and stand up and speak up. It's not to whine and cry. And listen, I know people do that all the time. It's not. It's to speak up and tell the truth and not keep it to yourself. You're not to be the Dead Sea. You'd out of your belly supposed to flow rivers of living water. And that could be living indignation also, and righteousness that demands indignation. People today in churches have no righteous indignation. They don't even grunt when something happens around them. They may murmur, they may complain, but folks, it's past. I don't know America. America is sinned to the point it's not going to turn around. But if you think I'm going to go down without telling the truth, without a fight, then you look at the wrong man. Go listen to somebody else. Go listen to somebody that tickle your ears and make you feel really good about yourself and tell you send $1,000 so he can bless you and plant that seed money so it'll come back and bless you. I'm not that person. We need finances here to pay the bills. We do right now, actually. But you don't hear me talk about it all the time. I just say we need it. It is what it is. But I will not and cannot change my mind what I just said tonight, because everything I said was true. Read right from history, right from the Muslims' own Bible, I read these things. All of them are not evil people to the point that they want to kill somebody. No, they may not go that far. And thank God that they don't. Some of you here, I think, are decent people. But if they're going to follow their word and follow their prophet, they're enemies of the Christians. And they're just purely, they're enemies. That's all I can say. And we cannot peacefully sit back and let this happen. I admire Jake Lang for going into Dearborn and now going into Plano, Texas, then going into Minnesota next month. I admire that. I'm going to support him all I can. In fact, I'm going to have him back on a broadcast later this month to tell us how it went in Plano on the 13th. I admire his stand. Is he inciting violence? No. He's speaking his truth and what he knows is the biblical truth. If others get angry and attack him, that's their call. Just like preaching the gospel in a foreign country. You're going to make them angry and they're going to attack you. That's the truth. And if we can't preach the gospel here in our own country without being attacked, how dare we blame others, other faiths and religions who attack Christians in their country? How dare we? Yes, I'm angry and I don't apologize for that. I'm sick and tired of these mammy-pammy people walking around with a tail tucked between legs and hope waiting for the rapture. Chance is right. All of them aren't bad. But their faith is bad. And if they believe it to the core, they are bad. Now, that's all I can say. It's biblical. It's history. It's sound teaching. I proved it to you tonight with their own writings, telling what their goals are for this country. And I do not apologize for that. I may have made a lot of people angry. That's fine. Go listen to somebody else. Listeners quit listening because I talk about the Jews sometimes. They quit listening about that. And I really love these people. I'm not mad at them. I was there myself one time, so I'm not angry. I wrote a letter to the individual trying to explain to him why I said these things and prove it to her scripturally what I said was truth. But now it's out of my hands. You all do with it as you please. I, for one, am going to stand. If it costs, it means you go off the radio next month, I'm off the radio next month. If funds don't come in, I'm not going to last much longer anyway. But I'm not going to worry about that. That is not my business. That's my Father's business. Well, I'll see you in the office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern. Love to hear from you. God bless, my friends. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.